Satnam, everyone. Okay. April 22nd, or is it April 23rd? April, we moved into Taurus. So all of the... Okay, somebody needs the star 6 because we're getting an echo. Thank you. Because if you have your cell phone or your phone on speakerphone, you need the star 6. Okay, it's the 23rd. April 23rd is the 5 day, which is also, we're moving into Taurus, which is the 5 month, which is the physical body. So we're moving into physical manifestation of all that Aries energy that got released, all the volcanic Pele energy that got stirred up and was pouring down the mountainside, liquid fire, pouring molten liquid fire, primal life force energy pouring down the mountainside into the ocean. The beginnings of Taurus is that energy splashing into the cold water, and it's like blown glass. It's just splintering out in all kinds of new formations. So if you feel yourself go splat into cold water, if you hit a splat in the road, know that you're just being reformed. You're being reformed into your crystalline self. So this is a moment where the molten lava hits the cold water, and it's the effect of that coming into 3D, but with the dimensional force field being lifted. It's almost like we're experiencing some shocks of this new frequency as it gets lined up. And part of the shocks is the dark side, so to speak, that we've just been talking about, that lives on fear, going out with a bang, literally, going out with a bomb, trying to last-minute ditch efforts, trying to create more and more fear and take over, but it's too late. We've already been realigned. We've received our new assignment. We're moving on, and it's unfortunate that there's residuals and some people are being hurt as we move into these new frequencies. But that's what's happening. It's like the alignment is almost like a huge ship kind of lurching about and maybe running into a glacier or something, not sinking, but just, you know, getting repositioned. So we've got the God Goddess positioning system in place, repositioning the whole frequency alignment. And we were talking about the structures that are on the planet, like banks and schools and corporate structures, are basically either being recommissioned or transitioned into a more expanded form so that it can serve the light, or they'll be crumbling down. So you'll see things crumbling down and ceasing to exist, or you'll see the form of whatever it is changing and morphing into a form that, yeah, serves the light. So if you don't serve, so we've moved into a time when we're actually here to, the momentum and the direction and that which sustains life is that which serves life. And if you're not serving the light, then you will be assimilated. You have to go somewhere else, basically. So we're just in this transition period. And remember, it's a 26,000-year cycle. So I think it's great that we have so much, we're standing at the apex of the beginning of this, and we're already seeing so much progress. And more progress is going to show up at this very pivotal beginning moment. So don't get discouraged and believe that the dark side is taking over, because they're not. They're not. Okay, yeah. By the way, I did want to share with everybody that I saw the greatest movie on Netflix last night. I was gone for the weekend. I was out near Palm Springs visiting two friends I hadn't seen in a very long time. And I was tired when I got back last night, so I just wanted to watch a movie. So we watched this greatest movie called The Highest Path. It's the highest pass, PASS. And I recommend it if you have access to it or can rent a DVD or watch some Netflix. It was on their new arrivals. It's an awesome movie, and I think it's just really represents what we're talking about right now as we move from Aries into Taurus, into embodying our power, embodying who we really are, taking charge, taking command, and going through our fears. I don't know if anybody's ever heard of it, but it was a group of people riding on motorcycles to the highest pass in the Himalayas in India. Okay, I think we need a little Star 6 action. I'm hearing some shuffling going on. Thank you. Somebody else. So they're taking this motorcycle ride to the highest pass in the Himalayas. It's quite an exciting movie. It's a documentary form of something that actually, a journey that people actually took with a person named Anand, who's a spiritual teacher, young guy, 27. And just the amazing, amazing experience and journey they had riding these motorcycles up to the highest pass in the Himalayas, over 18,000 feet, which there's not much oxygen up there, if anybody's ever been up there. And I've been up in the Himalayas and the high, high passes. And, yeah, you get lightheaded and dizzy. So that's a really, really good representation of, I thought, of what's happening right now as we embody our power, our strength, and face our fears. So we have the power right now with these dimensions being reconnected with the planet, with Earth being reconnected with the galaxies, with the star systems, with beings, this whole reconnection. What it's actually doing, one thing that it's actually doing is it's giving us this tremendous surge of inner strength, this tremendous uplift to upload our destinies into the galactic field. So all these lifetimes, this whole Aries period, this last winter, whatever period you've gone through, whatever trials, whatever tribulations, whatever experiences, it's a time this is a catalyst time where all that's being mixed together and it's forging our frequencies in a connection with our soul self that's never happened before on the planet. And that's, Yogi Bhajan is really, you know, wanting us to understand that it's a really alchemical period where that's what he's telling us right now. The process of actually being able to allow our soul selves, our higher selves, our light, to be what guides us, really what's present in our every breath, our every movement, our every action, rather than this whole split that we've had where we really couldn't access the full power of our soul selves. He's saying that it comes through the sun. And now that we've got that galactic alignment with the sun, it's actually taking our souls, the light of our souls, out of quarantine. He's telling us that we've been in a quarantine period and we're being released from quarantine. And he's saying that it's going in stages. We're not fully released yet. So he's saying just Taurus is slow and methodical, you know. He's saying just keep allowing yourself to feel really grounded and long, deep breathing for this homework period. He's saying then we won't individually feel that lurching effect as much as we're seeing, the hit the glacier effect. He said it's going to be more of a smooth ride, but this is what's happening right now. The power, the light of our soul frequency, our own souls that we connect with is being freed up. Our own souls are being let out of quarantine. He's saying piece by piece, because if it's too much, you know, it could fry our nervous system. So that's really interesting just to watch how that shows up for you. And he's saying also deep breathe and invite the power of your soul frequency into your physical body, into the cellular level of your body. And as you breathe in, invite the light of your soul into each cell, and that will also bring cellular regeneration and rejuvenation into each cell. And he's saying that it's really good to do this when you can feel the sunlight. He's saying you don't have to look at the sun. It doesn't have to be at, you know, high noon or anything at the OK Corral, you know, no showdowns. But he's saying if you could practice this outside where you can feel the sun and you can breathe with the light of the sun, then you can synchronize the part of your higher self soul essence that's been quarantined, and it'll be easier for you to reconnect with that for yourself, for ourselves. Okay, thank you, sir. So let's all breathe to that. There we go. Beautiful. And another activation that's happening right now is what I'm titling the call of destiny. The call of destiny is getting really strong, moving our creative forces onto the planet and marching forth, so to speak. So when you see something that really pulls you or draws you, or you feel something inside you that you really want to create, it's that pull. Notice that pull of destiny. And conversely, if you're not feeling that, then if you do the exercise that Sri Singh Sahib just taught us, that will activate that pull of destiny. So he's saying to help those anxiety periods where there may be some confusion. You can also share it with others where we might feel confused or people around you might feel anxious. When you can feel that call of destiny connected in your body, in your life, then it's going to take away anxiety. So he said it can even just be a few breaths away. So that's another beautiful, beautiful experience that we can practice this week. Yes, so the sun has moved into Taurus. Da-da-dum, da-dum, da-dum. And we've moved from this transition of all of these fire planets all into Earth. And we've got Venus has moved into Taurus. And we've got an opposition with Saturn. And Saturn is that which grounds us in the physical dimension, grounds us in 3D. Saturn can be the taskmaster, can basically, you know, force us to wake up and smell the roses, so to speak, in case we're smelling something that doesn't smell so sweet. So we've got Venus has moved out of Aries and into Taurus. So what we love, we can bring that love and beauty onto the earth and feel our own inner beauty and the strength. So think of the opposition with Taurus as the strength of the inner beauty rather than experiencing beauty as very yin and weak, or, you know, the weak feminine, the little woman syndrome. This is the strong, beautiful, beautiful power of the divine feminine. So that's what the transmission is that we're moving into now. And we've got Mercury in Aries, so we've got that some fire there. You know, we can fire up the engines of our thought forms, of our minds. And we've got Venus with that Saturn opposition. And then we've also got Mercury is conjunct Uranus. So as we know, Uranus is that slow-moving outer planet that has to do with our individuation in relationship to external authority or external structures. So it's basically not giving our power to the idea of a police state, as an example. So anything that is supposedly a thought form that the dark side is trying to impose on us, just imagine that, you know, it's just collapsing and feeling that power of the light, the soul light coming onto the planet, and that will help that collapse also. So even visualization of just, you know, basically sucking the power out of some of these false structures that are trying to be imposed, that's, you can work with Mercury conjunct Uranus that way and not feel, if there's something that shows up in the news or some events that have been happening in the world around us, that's an example of how we can work with the Mercury conjunct Uranus. So we've got the power coming down, coming into the physical, into physical form. So it's a time to really look inside, take an inventory, assess, you know, how do we want to run with this? How do we want to connect with this? How do we want to feel good about the beauty that we're bringing to the world? And how do we want to feel good about the beauty that we really are? How do we want to confront our fears that maybe we're not enough or this or that? Knowing that you are unique, you are here for a divine purpose, you have a destiny. So the call of the destiny, this is the week of the call of the destiny, feeling the strength of your destiny. And in our tantric numerology that we work with, the destiny number is all four digits of the year you were born. So if you add those together, you'll get that, you'll get your destiny number, the call of the call, the way your soul wants to manifest on the earth, what frequency you're working with. So if you're, say, a destiny of three, then that has positive mind. That has to do with uplifting others, caring for self, caring for others. A three is looked at as kind of a big mama or papa, the mamas and the papas. Got to do some California dreaming. So the destiny number, the call of the destiny, so you can add the last four digits, I mean all four digits of the year you were born and see what destiny frequency you're working with. Or if you're a nine destiny, then that has to, this is a perfect time, that has to do obviously with transformation, with the alchemical of moving things from one state and transforming them to a higher state. So you'll always be involved in, maybe you're the wisdom keeper, you're in the family, people come to you for advice and you can help them see how they can transform stuck energies, how they can move maybe a situation that's not working into a situation where there's more flow, more freedom, where they're more in their power, more in their radiance. So you're that number that helps transform. So if you have an uneven number like a nine, it's more of a, it is more of a number in movement. You're always about moving things forward, or moving things, where the even numbers are more about really stabilizing different frequencies onto the planet. So again, it's the play of opposites, it's the polarity, it's the dance of the infinity sign. So move with whatever it is. And I was thinking that I also saw this documentary, which was actually filmed, made quite a while ago, I think 1995, about Nelson Mandela. If you haven't seen that, talk about call of destiny. Wow. It was, his sister was talking, they started, it was beautiful how they began the movie and ended the movie, where his sister was talking to these little children and their eyes were so big and beautiful, about how even as a child, people looked up to him and listened to him, and he was sent to study with somebody who could, away from the village, who could actually educate him. And he was in prison for 27 years, hard labor, working the salt mines in Africa. And so talk about a strength and a call of destiny. So you can call upon your destiny for that feeling of that inner strength. And that's what we're embodying right now during this time of Taurus. We're working on embodying that strength within it. Within us, we're embodying the call of our destiny, the strength of our destiny to move us forward in our power, to move us forward in our beautiful glory, to command the new world into being. So this is not a squishy, namby-pamby time. This is a take action, move into your power time. And to really experience what's unique about you, we did that journaling about what's different, what's unique about me. So you can look back at those notes. So all those pieces that we worked on this last month during Aries, it's time to look at your journals and put those pieces together and to move forward, taking command with strong strides and deep breathing, activated by the full light of your soul that's now been taken out of quarantine. We've been talking about the archetypical Greek goddesses. We talked about the virgin goddesses, the vulnerable goddesses, and now we have three archetypes of these Greek goddesses. And this week we're talking about the alchemical goddess, and there is only one. How could there be anybody but Aphrodite, who is the alchemical goddess? And so it's so perfect that Aphrodite, who is also called Venus, is the goddess of love. And through the magic, through the power, through the frequency, through the archetype of the beautiful Aphrodite, she is the one who plants the seed of the urge to give birth to life, to give birth to beauty, to give birth to creativity. So this is the perfect period of time to introduce the frequency of the alchemical goddess Aphrodite. And you can see her painted so beautifully by Botticelli. If anybody's been in, I believe it was in Florence. Maybe it was Rome. I can't remember now. But just seeing that painting by Botticelli of Venus on the half shell, it's a huge painting. So we're literally emerging from the sea of, like, fishes climbing onto land. We're being birthed from the waters of love onto the earth, onto Taurus. And what are we going to walk on the earth with? What are we going to carry forth from this beautiful underworld kingdom? We're being led out of the underworld. Oh, my gosh. We're being led out of this 26,000-year cycle where Earth was in quarantine. So as we literally walk onto land or walk into these new dimensions or walk into this reconnection with our own higher self, what are we going to bring with us? What beauty are we going to walk with? Are we going to be planting flowers or, you know, smiling at someone or, you know, what is it that we're birthing? So this is the energy that we're in. Yes, so the alchemical goddess is only one, Aphrodite. She's plenty. She's plenty. So she's the one that causes people, beings, to fall in love and conceive new life. So she has been the one that inspires poetry, inspires how we talk in a way that uplifts others. Destiny of Three, that which positive mind, that which uplifts others. And she totally symbolizes the transformative and the creative power of love. So, you know, we know second chakra is, we say sex chakra, but we say the creative chakra. So that which brings form into the world, that which bursts through us. So we're truly in a birthing cycle right now of these higher frequencies. And we're literally birthing these higher frequencies through us, through our breath, through our thought, through really feeling more of our soul and our bodies, because it's going into the field, the higher dimensions. The field that we're going into is more of a field of oneness or unity. It's not so separate. So when you feel these higher frequencies, even if you're just by yourself chanting or deep breathing or feeling the sun, when you feel those feelings of beauty, you're literally birthing that into the field for everybody to receive. And of course it's powerful to get together with each other and get together in groups and to feel the power of the group. But you can also just feel the power within yourself and know that that frequency, as long as it's vibrating at that feeling of love and beauty and creativity, is being added to the field, and it makes the field more available for others. So it's going to be permeating 3D and uplifting more and more beings and more people. So Aphrodite, the archetype of Aphrodite in relationship to the other, the virgin and then the vulnerable goddesses, the archetype of Aphrodite is she was never one who suffered. She wasn't a virgin goddess separate from expressing her passion, her love sexually. So therefore she had no hurt or whatever. So she wasn't not hurt because she was isolated like the virgin goddesses, and she's not like the vulnerable goddesses that are the marriage relationship archetypes where those archetypes suffer when divorce and breakup and all these things happen. She's a combination of both, but yet because she's in her own strength and her power, and because she is the source that gives birth to, she is expressing source energy through her life-giving properties. She also is not a goddess that experiences getting hurt. So I thought that's a really interesting twist, because she experiences that she source energy. So her job is just to give birth to, just to give life to all these different creative endeavors. So she's not, you know, hanging out in the past. She's going from place to place. She's not sitting alone in her house suffering because her husband left her, because she's on the move. She's creating all of it anyway. So why would she have to suffer? So she doesn't suffer. So I think that's a really interesting archetype. So she has the feelings in all of her relationships of desire and wanting to be in a relationship, but she's not a victim of what the other person might do, of maybe being rejected or feeling unworthy or being put down or being trapped, all these things about relationships that cause people to suffer. So she likes the emotional interactions with others, but she comes from a place of being independent or self-referring within herself, self-referral. So she's not using others for her own strength of her own identity. So when you deep breathe and just feel the presence of the sun and feel that power of your soul that's been in quarantine, this will release this power within you so that you feel the strength of the independence of your own higher self, and it starts to release that correlation with suffering outside of us, outside of you. So Yogi Bhajan's saying that this week we're going to be releasing that, what he's calling attachment to suffering, or quagmire of suffering, or being stuck in the quagmire of suffering, or victimization. So you may or may not feel that in your own life, so he's asking us not to take this personally, but he's saying that be archetypical this week and allow that to just release, he's saying, from the individual psyche, from the group psyche, from the cultural psyche, that we're starting to release these tentacles of victimization, of suffering, in, you know, releasing that. So he's saying also, as we feel the power of our souls, release that attachment, release that peace from the field as we move into these higher frequencies. So he's giving us kind of more little pieces to work with. So she's not characterized by having permanent bonds with other people. Again, she's bonded with life itself, and this is a really important distinction. She's bonded with the frequency of life itself, of a mortal life birthing through her. So that's permanent bonds to other people, you know, like in the marriage ceremony, until death do us part. So that whole consciousness of being tied to something outside yourself that you're going to lose in death, and the identity having to do with having to carry something, and then it dies, and then part of you dies, and the better half or the worse half or whatever, and all the mourning and the loss. Well, Aphrodite is bonded to life itself, so it's that eternal youthing frequency, that eternal spring that keeps springing forth. So whatever, if there's something inside you that you feel that you haven't completely mourned or some loss, when you focus on that eternal life force, that Aphrodite, that Venusian frequency, and allow it to spring forth within your own soul, up through your feet and legs, and up through your womb, and metaphorical womb if you're a guy, and out into your heart chakra, then this is going to literally wash away the pain of loss from the past. So whatever loss you've experienced or perceive. And again, Yogi Bhajan's requesting that we do that for others, because he's saying with the Boston event and other events on the planet that people have experienced are grieving much loss. So just do that to ease that burden for others. So let's go ahead, take a deep breath, and let's just feel that energy come up. He wants us to try that right now. So come up through your feet and legs, and just feel that spring of eternal life come into your body. And opening your heart, lifting up on your diaphragm, pulling your head back, so that your head's sitting on top of your spine so your kundalini can flow. Okay, there we go. Now I'm feeling it. So yeah, so he's saying get into your perfect yogi posture. You got to get your spine straight. He was giving us some instructions. He was saying make sure they know that they have to get their spine straight so they can feel the kundalini frequency. There we go. Okay, good. So Aphrodite, whoever she shares her beauty with, this power of the life force, it's irresistible. It's the magnetic attraction. So we think about women, the divine feminine, the frequency of the divine feminine is magnetic. So we really want to be in our attraction mode this week. Practice that magnetic attraction where the masculine has to go out and get, and the feminine, so it's electrical, it has to go out and generate the frequency in the outside world, where the divine feminine is magnetic, is the attraction power. So feel that life force coming up and then attracting to you whatever it is that you need for your health, your rejuvenation, your happiness, your destiny, what you're visualizing. So feel that come in, that irresistible magnetic power that Aphrodite has that we can embody this week, that we can use for our own, developing our own potential. So just breathe that, and Yogi Bhajan's instruction is breathe in. He's saying pull Mool Bandha, root lock, and he's saying that Mool Bandha is pivotal for practicing our magnetism, for holding our magnetism. So Aphrodite has a more intense awareness, a more focused consciousness. So there's more intensity and there's more power. You can call on her if you're feeling diffuse or something, or if you're feeling as if you're needing help really holding your focus on something. So you can bask in the glow of the focus of that Aphrodite intensity. So this is a feeling of Aphrodite consciousness. So just take a breath in and then feel that frequency of Aphrodite consciousness coming into your being now, in this moment, and also this week when you practice the sun-soul connection exercise. Great, good. So go ahead and breathe and feel that and practice that. I'm going to get my iPod, which is in the other room, so keep breathing, walking around for a minute, grabbing the music. Good. Aphrodite consciousness. So this week is about consolidating your Aphrodite consciousness into your physical body. Taurus, physical manifestation, physical body. Numerology, 5, the fifth body. So it's a good time to walk, exercise, do your yoga. Okay, keep breathing. Doing great. Aphrodite consciousness. It's a week of Aphrodite consciousness. It's a week to get liberated. So we're going to chant for the liberation and for the release. We're going to chant Aung San Wahiguru.
Aung San Wahiguru. Thank you.
Feel that feeling of celebration in your body, in every cell, and let it go. So, Yogi Bhajan saying, this is the week to let the feeling of celebration and light, the light of your soul, penetrate every cell, and to chant Aung San Waheguru, whatever version you like this week. I also forgot, he wanted me to mention one more piece to you, which I forgot about a minute ago. It was just today, actually right before the call, I went to the chiropractor, actually with my sister, and she was in the car with me, and I went to get fill up with gasoline after our appointment, and we're waiting in line. There was a line, and there was some, it was like a 7-Eleven type situation where there was some cars parked. And as we were waiting in line, we were just sitting there. This big white truck with those dark tinted windows, like black windows, we'd been sitting there waiting at least 5 minutes. And so I know we were sitting there when the people came out of the 7-Eleven, out of the convenience store. We were right there, and they started backing up, literally square right into us. And it happened really fast. You know how things do with cars. And I started honking the horn. I literally, like, laid on the horn with both hands. And they actually stopped, and it really looked like that they had hit us, but they were just, you couldn't have put a piece of paper between their truck and my little Honda Civic. And what we really both experienced, because I chanted Ad Garay Namay, I think we chanted it together, but I chanted Ad Garay Namay when I got into the car after we left the chiropractor's office. And we totally experienced that. It was a Ad Garay moment. It felt like there was this second of grace where we were just in no time, and it was just that space in no time that allowed the car to stop in time and not hit us, because they didn't even see us, and they were just coming on. They were just going. So he wanted me to share that with you and to say that when you get in the car, he's saying, because of this chaotic energy and the change of dimensions, and it's always been good to do this no matter what, but especially because of these intense times, to remind everybody to chant Ad Garay Namay when you get into the car for protection. Okay, so thank you.
We want you to
be safe and protected. So. Thank you. Okay, anybody like to share before we complete for today?
That was beautiful. It was really, really beautiful. I felt a beautiful space. And I also was thinking to myself, how do I look at Boston in the divine order. I have a problem with that.
Yeah, yeah.
I really do. I always have a problem when there's a chaos like that. I have a problem looking at it in divine order. And what I saw is these magnificent souls that sacrificed actually are showing us where the darkness is hidden. Because we would have never prayed for Boston. We would have never covered Boston with light and sing all those mantras and violet flame if we didn't know that the darkness was there in that specific area of the globe. So that's what I thought. I thought, wow, so good. So we cleaned that.
Thank you. I like that. Beautiful. Good. Well, I'm feeling really relieved that this week feels more of a celebration and more. I was really excited to get information, which I hadn't gotten before the call, to, you know, that part of our souls had been in quarantine, and that's being freed up, and the way for us to embody that is to, you know, breathe and meditate with the sun and allow that part of ourselves to come in. So that was pretty exciting for me.
It is, at last.
At last, at long last. So I'm feeling very celebratory right now.
Yeah, I know. It feels that way. It feels like we're doing great. And I thank you, Guru Karen, for all your work.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
We work together. Thank you, everybody.
Great. Thank you
for sharing. Thank you. Okay, everybody. Ansang Waheguru. Love to all. Blessings. And we'll see you next week.
Sat Nam.
Blessings.
I love you all.
Love you all.
Oh, we do.
Okay, Sat Nam. Bye.
Sat Nam.
Bye.